Let's turn in our Bibles this morning back to Mark chapter 4 as we continue our study in Mark. Mark chapter 4, our text this morning will be verses 21 to 25. The parable of the lamp. Mark writes, "And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer just before we tackle our text this morning. Lord, I pray that as we go to your word and as we hear from it, that again, we will be those who will be willing to obey it. We pray that your Holy Spirit will go before it, that your Holy Spirit will reveal the truths of Scripture even to the hearts of those who listen, and that only that is what is right and true will be heard. And so we pray this morning that your word will be honored, that you will be glorified, and that we will be a changed people because we have met with our God here this morning and listened to his voice through his word. And so I pray that you will receive all honor and glory and praise, and that your church will be built up this morning in your name. Amen. If I was to ask you, how would you define a Christian? What would you say? Is there something that just jumps to your mind right off the hop? Is there just something, a definition that you have that you think, I've got it, I know what it is, right? Now, we can define Christians by different things. Some people would say that Christians are those who follow Christ. Some people would want to describe a Christian by what he does, right? A Christian is someone who goes to church, right? Goes to church, reads his Bible, maybe goes to Sunday school, maybe goes to prayer meeting. Some people would say, well, a Christian is someone who lives a really moral life. Someone who's just, you know, doesn't do the don'ts and does the do's, right? Somebody who follows a list of instructions. Some of us might be tempted to define a Christian and say, well, the Bible says we're ambassadors. That's what we are. We're ambassadors for Christ. So we are those who represent Christ. That's a pretty good definition, isn't it? We're ambassadors. But the Bible has several different descriptions of us as believers, and one of the descriptions is that he calls us the light. We are the light of the world. We are those who are to bring the light. So what does that exactly mean? What does it mean that we are to bring the light? Are we the light? What are we doing? Well, one person described a Christian like this. I don't know if you've ever seen a stained glass window in some of the beautiful churches that you see. But what happens when the sunshine goes through that glass? It just produces a beautiful light, doesn't it? And you see it go through. Now, the glass really doesn't do much to the light, does it? The light is light. And really what a Christian is doing then is reflecting the light, just like that window reflects the light. And so we're the light of the world. We are light in the world because we are bringing the light, but we are not the light itself. We are simply reflectors of God and his light. We are bringing the truth that is him to the world. At least we should be. We're not actually the light itself, right? we are reflectors of that light. And so this morning, as we look at this parable of the lamp, we're really going to see that we are called to be those who have a responsibility to the light. In other words, there's a responsibility for us to produce the truth about Jesus Christ to others. And in this parable, we're really going to see that there are two things that we need to remember about being stewards of that light. First, we have an obligation to the light in this fact, that we are to be those who are those through whom the light is seen. In other words, we have an obligation to share. We have an obligation to make sure that others are confronted with that light. Second of all, we're going to see that there is a personal obligation, or there's a personal, not a personal obligation, but a personal promise to us if we respond to the truth correctly. In other words, there is something that will be given to us if we use that truth correctly. And so this morning, as we go to our text, we'll really take a look at that this morning. And we will see, first of all, that we are to be those who have an obligation to share the light, an obligation to share the light. He says in verse 21, "And he was saying to them, 'A lamp is not brought to be put under a blanket, is it? Or under a bed? It is not brought out to be put on, is it not brought out to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, and nothing has been secret, but it has come to light.'" Now he says this. He starts with really what we would call a really common illustration. A lamp, he says, is not to be put under a bed or under a basket. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We've all had lamps. I mean, we don't have lamps like they did. They had lamps that were made out of pottery. They were probably looked a little bit like a teapot. You'd have a lid, you'd put a couple ounces of oil in there, and then you'd put a wick on the one end, and you'd put it on a shelf on the wall if you were poor, and if you were rich, you would get a nice ornate stand, and you would set it on top of there. But the idea is this. When you light up a lamp, what are you trying to do? Expose what's in the dark, aren't you? You don't light the lamp and then hide it so that it does no value. What good is it if you light a lamp and you hide it? Nobody can see it. Nobody can see it. Now, you might say, well, why is Jesus starting with this illustration? What is he getting at? Why does he start here? What is he talking about? Well, we need to realize that when Christ came into the world, he came in as the what? The light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He said again in John 9:5, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, when Christ came, he came to be the light of the world. He came to show us who he was. He came to show us who God was. He came as the Messiah. He came as the one who was to be the deliverer of Israel. He was coming as the Son of God. He was coming as God. Now, as he starts through his ministry, he starts to demonstrate who he is through his miracles, through his power over Satan, over disease, over nature. And he has done everything that he can to this point to demonstrate who he is. He has called people. He says the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe. He's calling them to recognize him, to believe in him. He has done everything that he can. But as we saw before and as we've been through, there's been an increasing resistance to him, to the point where there is this this absolute rejection and hardening to the truth of who he is. They no longer want to hear of him. They now attribute his work to Satan, and they no longer will believe in him. And so this Christ who came promising the kingdom, promising to be the Jewish Messiah, has been rejected by his own. They refuse to acknowledge him. And in judgment, Christ has started to speak in parables. And part of the parables was to be a judgment on those who would not believe. It is a judgment on those who would refuse to recognize the proof that was set in front of him. And so he is judging them on one hand. In one hand, it's a sense of mercy because they are not responsible for the truth that they don't understand. But Christ is now putting a judgment on them for unbelief. But it's clear from the parable of the sower that the problem was not the message. It wasn't that Christ somehow was deficient in what he brought, but the problem was men's hearts. Men's hearts were refusing to understand the truth. They refused to accept the truth. Their hearts were not ready, and so the message that Christ brought fell on deaf ears. But the problem is that there's still the sowing of the seed that is to go on. And so Christ is saying to them, listen, I have started to speak in parables, as it were, to hide the truth, but my intent is not that the truth always remain a mystery. I am now bringing you truths about the kingdom that were not known before. I'm bringing you things that have not been revealed. We talked about this last week, that Christ, when they understood from the Old Testament, they had no idea that Christ would come a second time. They thought he was coming once, everything was done. But now there's going to be a period between his first and second coming, and there's going to be certain things that we need to know as we wait for his second coming. Part of that, as we saw last week, is that people will reject the gospel because of people's hearts. So we should expect that. If they rejected Christ, they will reject us. But Christ is trying to make a point with his disciples and with his followers here that a lamp, that Christ did not come in the world, and the message that he brought was not to be one that was to be always kept underneath and to be not understood by many. And that's why he says this, he says in this next verse, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed. It's a really simple principle. He says nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Now, what does he mean by that? Simply means, what do you do at Christmas time with your presents? Do you just take them from the store, leave the price tag on? Well, some of us would take it off just because we don't want them to know how little we spent. But we take those presents, and what do? We don't put them underneath the tree the way they are, do we? We wrap them up, right? We wrap them up to hide them. Now, if you've got children, of course, you may have to be a little clever with this, right? You have to put the little gift in the big box, and you disguise the shape so they don't know what it is. Why are you doing that? Because it's not time to reveal that truth yet. It's not time to reveal that present. And Jesus is saying this, listen, the truth of the kingdom is now being withheld from people. I am now speaking the truth, spiritual truth, about myself and about what is going to take place and all of my teaching, but there's going to be a time when it will be revealed, and now is not the time. In other words, there's going to become a point in time where the truth about Jesus Christ will be revealed in a greater way. Now, that will happen as Christ continues to teach in parables, And as he gives more parables, it will continue to be go forward as the message in the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes clearer. Now, here's the thing. Not everything that is known about Jesus Christ is known at this point. There are things that are still hidden. And so as they go forward, then Christ says there's going to come a time when these secrets will be revealed. And as we fast forward, we see that after Christ's crucifixion, what happened? Things were revealed, right? Now we understand that Christ came to die, but then he would rise and he would go to heaven, but he will come again. The mystery of the church has been revealed. Paul gives us the mystery of the church, something not seen in the Old Testament, that the Gentiles would be grafted in with the Jews. And so all of these things are starting to be revealed in the spiritual truth. And so he says, I'm speaking in parables now, but understand there will come a time where these things will be what? Revealed. And that's what he does. This is what happens when the truth comes out, that when Christ was raised from the dead, what did he say to his disciples? You shall be my what? Witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What was he saying? I don't intend that the truths that I am teaching are to die with me. I am giving them to you, and I expect that when the time comes, you will be the ones who will give the truth about myself. You will give the truth about the kingdom. You will continue with the kingdom message, and you will tell them about salvation in Christ. You will reveal to them who Jesus Christ is. He says, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. In other words, there are things, there are mysteries about Christ that have not been revealed that will be revealed. And then as we go forth with the gospel, we start to reveal things about Jesus Christ to others. And then we understand this, that the gospel itself reveals not only who Christ is to people, but it reveals people for who they are before God. Do you get that? The gospel itself reveals who people are. And as we go forth with the gospel and we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, we are taking a gospel that is actually confrontational. We are taking a gospel that is, in essence, shines the light of God's truth on people's lives and exposes their sin. And he says, there's not anything that is secret, but it would come to light. In other words, the gospel will shine in people's heart and reveal their sin. It will reveal the things that no one else knows about, and it will be exposed. And he says, we are to be the ones who take the gospel that reveals the truth of people's hearts, and we are to shine it forth to other people. And in doing that, we understand this, that everyone eventually will have all of their secrets revealed. When God returns, when Christ comes back and he comes as judge, all the secrets will be revealed. People will have an absolute clear understanding who Jesus Christ is. There will be no doubt in their mind, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will be no confusion as to who he is. And all of their hearts and all of their sins will be revealed at that final day. And he will reveal them for who they are. And so he says, everything that is in secret will be what? Made known. It is much, much better to be exposed by giving people the gospel and having them exposed and have them revealed now, than for them to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, to stand before the great white throne, and to have his wrath poured out on them for their sins. So Mark writes what Christ wrote about the parable, and he says, Christ does not expect that the message that he brought and who he is to die, he expects that his disciples will take forth, that his followers will take forth that message, that they will take the truths that they have learned and that they will give the truth and the gospel of who Jesus Christ is and the message of the kingdom to others. Well, the question then becomes, how are we at that? How are we? Are we those who give forth the gospel? Are we those who continue to bring the truths that we have learned to others about who Jesus Christ is? 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? So that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 5:8 tells us, but now you are a light in the world. Walk as children of light. So are we those who are now carrying on the message? Are we those who share the gospel? Are we theirs, those who share the hope that we have within? Are we taking the obligation that Christ is giving us here and sharing? Are we a light? See, he didn't just call us to have eternal life. He called us to be what? A light. He only left the church here to share, right? There's only one thing we can't do in heaven, really, as a church, right? And that's evangelize. Do we recognize that we have the obligation to continue to spread the truth of who Christ is, to share his truth? Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? Christ has revealed that he's coming back again. He will die, he will come back. But for this age, for this time, our job is to what? Make disciples of Jesus Christ. The time is now. The Great Commission has been given. We need to share the truth of who Christ is with others. So we see the obligation of the light. We must share it. And then he says, we have not only the obligation to share it, but we have the opportunity of the light. He says this, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measures, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what has he has shall be taken away. Now he says this, he ends the last section with, he who has ears, let him hear. In other words, those who have spiritual ears, they need to listen. Those who are capable and have the ability, let them hear. And he says, take care, take care what you listen to. Take care. Literally, the word here is blepo, to see. In other words, you need to, when you're listening, you need to see it. You need to actually be able to understand and to think about what you are receiving. It's not enough to hear it, but you have to process it. You have to pay close attention to it. You have to recognize it for what it is. Now, there are many voices, there are many different ideas, but he says, if you listen to the truth, he says, be careful what you take care of what you listen to, because when you hear the truth, you will recognize it. You will grow in it. So he says, pay attention to that. He says, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. What does he mean by that? By the measure it's been measured to you, it will be measured. But by the standard you measured, it will be measured to you. What does he mean by that? What does that mean? It simply means, by the way that you handle the truth, by the way that you hear the truth, the way that you respond to the truth, the way you obey the truth, and the way you share the truth, it will be measured back to you in the same amount. Now, what does that mean? Well, I like the illustration of this concept. There was a butcher and a baker, and they liked to exchange goods, but they didn't want to use money. So what they decided to do is that they would exchange goods. So the butcher would give, this doesn't sound fair in our day and age, but he would give the baker a pound of meat, and the baker would give him a pound of flour. So this continued for a while until the butcher started to get angry, because he started to weigh his flour, only to discover that week after week after week, his flour was less than a pound. So finally, getting angry, and he confronted the baker, and he said, "What are you doing? Every day you are shortchanging me. Every day, every time I give you meat, you give me less than a pound of flour." To which the baker replied, "Well, I don't have a scale. I only have a balance." He says, "I put your meat on one side and I just weigh it until it's even." Right? He got back what he measured out. He got back what he measured out. What he measured by is what he got back. And what he's saying to us here this morning is this: how we listen to the truth, how we obey the truth, and how we share the truth will ultimately be the measure by which we are blessed by God on the other side. Now notice, he says the measure by which you will be measured, that's your part. It will be measured back to you. That's passive, which means God gives that back to you. What is he saying? When you listen to the truth, and you obey the truth, and you share the truth, God will bless you in proportion to the effort and your willingness to obey and listen and share the truth. We've been talking about sharing the gospel. God will bless you according to how much you share the gospel. Now, that does not mean that if you share the gospel and you share it lots, that you're guaranteed that people will come to salvation. That does not mean what it means. What it means is that God will bless you in your effort as you evangelize. And God will bring blessings into your life. He'll bring the joy of obedience. He'll give you the joy and the love of himself. He will put blessings into your life. He will give you joy and peace. He will give you all of these things. He will give you eternal reward if you are willing to live in obedience to the truth and to share it. So he says, there's a responsibility on your part then to actually listen. to actually obey and to actually share. It's not enough to know about what you should do. It's not even enough to know the truth, but you have to implement that truth. And he says, on the measure, the effort that you give to get more truth, I'll give you more truth. The more you obey truth, the more I'll bless you. The more that you evangelize, the more what? I'll bless you. And in fact, he says, not only will he do it in measure, but in the next part of the verse, and will be given to you besides, more besides. In other words, he's going to continue to give you even more blessings than the amount of effort that you put out. Now that's crazy. But this is our good God. He says, I will give you in proportion to what your effort, and I'm going to give you a little bit more. Now, we say God is good, but this is outrageous. He's not just giving you what you deserve, he's giving you even more. And he promises to bless you in proportion to the effort that you put out in obedience to find the truth, to be obeying the truth, and to share the gospel. Now he expands on it in verse 25. For whoever has, to him shall be given. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even that what he has shall be taken away. So here's the principle. He says, listen, if you have, you will be given more. And if you don't, it will be taken away. Simply put, if we are those who take the truth and search for the truth and seek the truth and obey the truth and share the truth, he says in doing that, he's going to give you what? More truth, more blessing, right? It's pretty simple. He simply says, if you will seek that, I'll give you more. And here's one of the principles we need to understand. God will not give you more truth than the truth that you're already using and the truth that you're obeying. He doesn't do that. He's not going to give you more depth. He's not going to give you more understanding. He's not going to give you even more marching orders. He's already given them to you. You need to obey them. It's immensely practical. I don't care how much you study your Bible, and I don't care how much theory you know. God is not going to give you wisdom, and he's not going to reveal spiritual truth to you until you obey what you already know. You can't get more wisdom by studying. You can't get more understanding. You might know a few more facts. And this is the way it is with spiritual growth. It's as if you're not going to become a deeper, more mature believer until you start living to know what you know now. And this is why when we go and we hear someone speak sometimes, and this happens, right? You listen to a guy and you think, this guy is great. I mean, this guy has got to be the clearest Bible teacher I have ever heard. But then you go and you study the Word of God and you live in obedience and you do all that stuff, and you come back 5 years later and you listen to him and you go like, man, that guy's shallow. Has he changed? No, you have. Because God has revealed more truth to you, more depth. And so today, if you're finding things hard to understand, it may be that simply that you need to go back and obey what you already know. You don't need more wisdom. You need to be obedient to what you know. And he says, if you do this, if you are faithful to do this, he will give you what? More wisdom, more blessings. We read the parable of the talents, right? The first guy's got what? More. They were faithful to what they had, and God gave them more. And then here's the other principle. Even what he has shall be taken away from him. To him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. We looked at the parable of the talents. What happened to the guy who buried his talent? Was it, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Enter into my rest. What happened to him? Thrown into lake of fire. Here's the principle. If you continually reject truth, spiritual truth, you ultimately demonstrate that you're not one of his. And even the things that you thought you knew about God, even the things that you think you might know, will be removed from you. And the things that maybe that once kind of touched you, made you consider, will simply be removed and you won't think of them anymore. It's like those in Hebrews, right, who had tasted, been in fellowship with other believers, got some of the blessings, but they fall away and they never come back. But I think there's an application here to believers as well. If we refuse to do the things that we know to do, we start to harden our hearts as well. And it's not long before we start to be involved in activities that we once would not have done, but now we do them freely. And it's not long before, when we're living disobedience to the truth, that we start to forget that we're not supposed to gossip, and we forget that we're not supposed to lose our temper, and we forget. We're desensitized to the truth, and now things come out of our mouths and our topics of our conversations change. And we start to have what we call spiritual atrophy. We start not just sitting there, right? We start going backwards. And we start to lose what we once had. It's a terrible place to be. A terrible place to be. Let us not be those who are taking the truth that God gives us lightly. Let us not be those who are living in disobedience to the truth we know. Let us not be those who hang on to the truth and refuse to give it to others. Let us understand that we have been given light to give to others. That Christ did not expect that his ministry, his life, his offer of belief in him would end with him, but we are to be ambassadors. We are to be the light. We are to be those who bring forth the message of the gospel to others. And let's take the opportunity that we have. Let's take the opportunity. We have the light. We have the word of God. We have Christ in our heart. We have the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. Let us be those who grab the truth, who obey the truth, who share the truth. Let us not be those who snuff it out. Let us not be those who are hardened to it. But let us be those who are faithful, growing ever deeper, ever more knowledgeable, ever more in love with Jesus Christ, ever more with his name on our lips, ever more sharing the truth that we have. Let us take the opportunity that has been given to us. God isn't going to download everything that immediately into your head. He's not going to download everything. The Christian life is a slow process of learning and obeying, learning and obeying. But we have been given what? The Holy Spirit. Christ is alive. He gives us the power to live in obedience to the truth. He's the one who reveals the truth to us. Let us be obedient to what he has called us to do. Let us be stewards of the light, both for others and in our own life. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable. We thank you that though you were holding the truth and hiding it for a time, that your truth is to be revealed to all. We thank you that you have given us the ministry to share the light. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity to receive more truth, more blessings, more wisdom, more joy, more eternal reward. I pray that you would help us to be faithful to the task, that we would not stunt the spread of the gospel because we have refused to listen, that we have refused our obligation to spread the truth. We have refused to listen to the truth. Make us those who share your gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. In your name. Amen.